If you love this podcast and IPR, you probably know that it's fueled by listener dollars. Hi, I'm Rick Brewer, a talk show producer at Iowa Public Radio. And part of my job is connecting with Iowans who have stories to tell. When you contribute to IPR, you help make that possible. Membership contributions make up 57% of IPR's budget. That's huge and amazing. So do your part to support the podcast and programs you enjoy. Go to iowapublicradio.org and tap the red donate button. Thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, issues involving higher education and politics have been heating up in the Iowa legislature. GOP lawmakers say they're worried that conservative voices at the public universities are being squelched, sometimes in the name of diversity initiatives and with the support of campus administrators. In response, Republican lawmakers are considering bills that would end tenure for professors at Iowa's three public universities, potentially making Iowa the first state in the country to do so. Another proposal would require the Board of Regents to survey all university employees to determine each person's political affiliation. Democratic lawmakers are against the proposals. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Republican State Representative Dustin Height. I'll ask him about the debate surrounding these bills as well. We'll also hear from a conservative student at ISU, the vice president of student body there, as a matter of fact, in the second half of the program. And toward the end of the hour, Gazette Higher Education reporter Vanessa Miller joins us. Let's start off with a view from the president of one of Iowa's three public universities. UNI President Mark Nook joins us live. Welcome back to our program, President Nook.
Well, thank you, Ben. It's a pleasure.
Before we have you comment on the specific legislation that I mentioned, give us your response to Republican lawmaker concerns behind these proposals. Their concerns that there is a suppression of conservative voices, a liberal bias on your campus, the campus of the University of Iowa and Iowa State University.
Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing that's really important to all of the universities is really protecting free speech rights for everybody. We are, as universities, places where it's very important that the ideas of the day be fully discussed. We're one, especially at the public universities, because we fall under the protections of the First Amendment that many of the privates don't, and certainly businesses don't, that aren't also part of the formal government structure. So it's extremely important that we protect those free speech rights. It does mean from time to time we're going to challenge people on, you know, how they think about things, what they're thinking, and that's what universities are really all about, to take on the problems of the day, look at them from all sides, and have an open discussion around them.
Mm-hmm. What is the policy for professors, faculty members who espouse political views in the classroom? Is this appropriate, ever appropriate? Do you have guidelines when it is appropriate?
It doesn't. Where it shows up from time to time is in courses that do particularly address those, but those are not then to be espoused by the professor saying, these are my views, but to work through the views from different sides, right? So it isn't about coming in and bringing necessarily your views on that topic, but being able to open that discussion up and discuss it openly. It isn't appropriate for a person like myself, I'm an astronomer, in an astronomy class to take on political issues. Discussing funding for NASA might be appropriate and how it's used, but taking both sides of that would be very appropriate. It can happen, though, in courses where history courses, some of the humanities and social science courses will actually be addressing those topics critically in the course. These topics of diversity, one of them that you mentioned, topics of where our society is headed, those sorts of things. And it's very appropriate to have those discussions and to have them in an open manner.
Okay, let's talk about tenure. The Iowa Republican lawmakers are considering bills that would end tenure for professors at the three public universities, including yours, of course, potentially making it Iowa the first state in the country to do so. Give us some background. We're not all terribly familiar with tenure, though we hear this term. In short terms, what is tenure? Why does it exist at the universities?
Yeah, tenure exists to allow faculty members to work on sort of the research that they see as most relevant at the time, regardless of sort of where the political winds are blowing or where the administration of that university is at. It is what really protects the innovative nature of a university. Many of the topics that are taken on by our researchers are topics that, in particular, industry are too risky for industry to necessarily take on, but they're the kernels of the ideas that grow into new businesses, new industries, new ways of thinking, and really drive our economy. I think it's one of the reasons that you see things like the Iowa Business Council, many of our commodity associations, and the Chambers of Commerce supporting the universities and having tenure. They see this as a real protection of that innovative crux of a university. The tenure process, I think, is also important. Many people see it as a guarantee for life, and it really isn't. One, it takes 6 years to earn tenure on a campus with annual reviews and major reviews every 3 years. And then once tenured, there is an annual review on our campus with the department chair, and every 3 years, larger reviews that involve the entire department and go deeper and further. So there really are no guarantees of continual employment. There are continuing evaluations, but the sort of understanding is that things will move forward unless there's a problem, and then we look deeper into it and work with the faculty member to be able to bring themselves up to the level of quality that the faculty in that department, the university, is expecting out of all of its faculty.
President Nook, what would be, in your view, the implications for amending Iowa law to eliminate tenure?
One, we would see a mass exodus of faculty from this state at all three of our universities. Have a very difficult for us to recruit faculty into this university, into any of our universities, whether those are teaching faculty or research faculty or clinical faculty. Tenure is sort of this, as I said before, assurance that you're going to be able to work on projects that are important to you, that are important to your discipline, regardless of how sort of the winds are blowing on your campus or within the state, and to be able to look into items that, you know, are really too risky for necessarily industry to take on, but are solid research problems that need to be undertaken to continue to advance society and civilization.
How do you answer concerns about a perceived liberal political bias on your campus and other campuses? This is not just to do with Iowa, of course. I'll just name one poll from 2018, a WGBH national poll from 2018, saying overwhelmingly Americans perceive college campuses to be partisan environments, 59% believing they lean toward one particular viewpoint, 77% of respondents identifying colleges as leaning liberal. Why should there be a liberal leaning in our college campuses, on our college campuses? Do you agree that there is such a thing?
I'm not sure that I agree there is such a thing, but I haven't ever polled, you know, the aspects of each of our faculty members. We do very definitely talk about progressive ideas. We also talk about conservative ideas. Those are things we're going to take on. It has to be that way. We have done some surveying of students from time to time, and what we find is that students on both ends of the political spectrum think we aren't protecting their end. And I think we can see that in various viewpoints. So that I think that what that means is that we're challenging the students on our campus and others that engage with our campus on both ends of that spectrum, and really allowing these very fertile conversations about the different aspects of any political question to be adequately dissected and discussed and reviewed. So I think we do see on a campus that this discussion makes everybody a little bit uncomfortable because we're challenging both sides of that spectrum.
Mm-hmm. That is your aim. What Has this debate in the legislature and these moves by Republican lawmakers spurred you to increase the protection of all kinds of speech, all kinds of political speech on your campus? Are you doing anything now or plan to do anything now that you haven't been doing in the past?
Especially when the incident occurred on our campus this past fall, involving our student government and things around that incident, we did look at all of our policies and did a policy review around especially protections of First Amendment rights, and to see if there's things that we needed to solidify. We are working through that process and also working with the Board of Regents on sort of the guidelines that they're putting forward as well around free speech and free speech protections. So it is something that, you know, as an incident like that happens, you step back and you look and say, you know, what are we doing? What are the things that we have to have in place? Are we adequately protecting everyone's rights? And, you know, in the end, we got that decision right. We didn't violate that student group's rights. They were allowed to go ahead and form a student organization. So, but we did, it did prompt us to take a look at what are we doing, how are we doing it, what are the things that we might be able to do to make this even more clear and the path more assured.
Okay, thank you very much, President of the University of Northern Iowa, Mark Nook. Thank you for joining us again, President Nook.
Thank you, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, exploring some issues in higher education having to do with politics on our university campuses. Let's talk with state Republican lawmakers, as I mentioned at the beginning, Republican lawmakers considering bills that would end tenure for public university faculty. We're getting views on that proposed ban on tenure. Also, the debate over perceived political bias, freedom of speech at our state universities on the campuses. Joining me now, State Representative Dustin Height. He's a Republican from New Sharon, House District 79. Representative Height, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
So let's go right to this proposal. What is your position on the proposal to eliminate tenure and why?
Well, I think, Ben, the concern that we've heard from students on campus is that, especially those who have a conservative bent, they think that their free speech, their ideas are being stifled. And we saw it three separate incidences at all three of our Regents universities. And so we look at tenure as maybe one of those things that is making professors think that they are invincible when it comes to this thing, and that's part of the cultural problem at the universities, where faculty, staff, administrators, students even think that they can just stifle the free speech of people they disagree with. So I think this is part of the conversation. Is it the perfect answer to this? Maybe not, and we'll continue to have those conversations. But I think it's part of the overall conversation, the overall culture that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. The way you characterize it is certainly not the way President Nook just characterized it. What do you make of the points that he has made, that there is there's a system in place for reviewing professors and faculty and holding them accountable, and it's really would cause a mass exodus, in his words, from the state if tenure were to be eliminated?
So first, I think all we have to do is look within the state of Iowa. Our community college system does not have tenure, and I'm not aware that we have a extreme difficult problem of finding professors to teach at community colleges. But back to the point about there is a process and the subcommittee for this bill, the question was asked of the regents, well, if there's a process, then tell us, you know, how many people have lost tenure over the past, you know, X number of years. And we've never really gotten an answer to that. And so that leads me to believe that there may be a process, but that it really doesn't have any teeth.
Mm-hmm. There are very few Iowa organizations that support this legislation, even organizations that you would think would not have really a dog in the fight, the Iowa Pork Producers Association, the Iowa Business Council, against it. How do you interpret the opposition of 68 lobbyists I see on the website who are filed on this? 25 are against, 43 are against, 25 undecided. There are none that are registered for it. How do you interpret that opposition then?
Well, first, Ben, you know, we represent people. We represent the students there. We don't represent the lobbyists. I think, you know, some of their concerns might be valid when it comes to the research that some of our universities do. And I think that's why you see, you know, commodity groups opposed to this. I think that means that maybe we need to look at how we're doing it, because they're not really saying that they're in support of the concept of tenure, just that they're worried about how it's going to affect their interests in the state, you know, especially these ag groups.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you would agree that there would be a detrimental effect on the Iowa universities if the tenure were eliminated?
I don't know that I would necessarily agree that that's going to happen. We hear that all the time. We heard it a couple years ago with Chapter 20 and collective bargaining, and the sky didn't fall, as they say. We hear that all the time on different bills. I do think that maybe it means that we can step back and look at maybe doing this a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Let me share with you an email that I received this morning from a faculty member at the University of Iowa. He had evidently heard the promotional spot that said that we were going to do this program. He wrote a lengthy email. I'll just read you one part of an email from Patrick Schlievert, if I'm getting his name correct. He's a professor in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at the Carver College of Medicine. Here's an excerpt. We already have a place and system of post-tenure review to be sure faculty are doing what is expected of them. All of the faculty in my department teach, do research, and provide service as is expected of them. The research funding brings in lots of dollars that is no longer provided by the Iowa legislature. Eliminate tenure and you will definitely lose those grant dollars. This was what was attempted once at Minnesota with disaster results. 83 faculty left the College of Medicine, and those were well-funded faculty. That meant, for example, that the Department of Medicine had to borrow money to stay afloat. It took them 15 years to become solvent. The attempt to remove tenure caused that. The faculty also brought up a unionization process. And one last sentence, the day before the union vote was to be taken, the people of the state rose up and fired the causative provost and board of regents. An excerpt from Patrick Schlievert, professor in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at the University of Iowa. Respond to the points he makes. He's pointing to a disaster that happened in another state.
So I'm not aware of that issue in Minnesota. I would have thought, you know, this bill has been out there for quite a while and, in fact, has been around for several years. I've not heard that. Nobody brought that up at the subcommittee, so I'll have to look into it. But it would seem to me that if it was such a disaster as he says, that that certainly the groups opposed to this would have brought it forward.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, back to that, I think we need to look at what is the purpose of our universities. Is our purpose of our universities simply to bring in these grant money, or is it to educate our students? And I would posit that it is to educate our students. That's their first goal, and that should be their main goal. And if there are things in place that hinder that and keep them from doing that in the best manner possible, we need to look at them.
Mm-hmm. Another proposal by, I'm not sure how, to the extent to which you support this, but Republican lawmakers, your colleagues, considering bills that would require the Board of Regents to survey all university employees to determine each person's affiliation. How much support does that have within your party?
So I think that's a Senate proposal, so I'm not as familiar. I think a lot of folks in my party are concerned about that, that maybe goes down the wrong path, that it shouldn't matter what party you are when you get one of these jobs. And so I don't know that that's going to have a lot of support over in the House.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If the purpose is, I'm wondering, back to the tenure proposal, eliminating tenure, Iowa would become the first state to do so in the country. If the purpose, Representative Height, is to encourage a greater political diversity, political opinion among faculty, why would conservative faculty members be any more likely to come and work on a campus that doesn't provide a 10-year path? Let's say you're a conservative faculty member somewhere else thinking about coming to Iowa. Iowa a university in Iowa would like to have you, but Iowa is missing a 10-year path. Doesn't that make that much less appealing for conservative faculty members as well?
Well, I mean, that's certainly the argument we hear on the other side. I would, I don't know how much stock we put into that, because, again, if it's a good job and somebody wants to be here, they're going to be here. I mean, we don't have tenure in almost any other type of job, and people still take those jobs. I would back up a little bit, Ben, and say, you know, the purpose is not to make sure that our college professors have a balance on political ideology. The concern is to make sure that they do not impress their own thoughts, their own political ideology on the students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important point.
Mm-hmm. And so do you see a difference in the three universities, public universities, UNI, ISU, and the University of Iowa, in answering your concerns, in having a system in place to protect all forms of political opinion?
Well, I think they're just now starting to get at that. And one of the things that I think we might be looking at is trying to have a uniform policy across all three regions, across all three Regents universities. It shouldn't matter if you're at UNI or Iowa. As a student, you should be treated the same. And so I think we're looking at maybe trying to implement some policy so that it's uniform across the board.
Mm-hmm. And this in dialogue with the university presidents, with the regents, or are we talking about, when we say we, are you talking about Republican lawmakers?
So Republican lawmakers, but we certainly have had conversations with the various universities, because we do, when we do stuff, we do want to try to make it workable for the regents.
Mm-hmm. And how much, how likely do you think this would become law to end tenure for public university faculty in Iowa? Do you think that's a likelihood?
Well, that's a conversation we're going to have with the larger Republican caucus. I don't see much Democrat support for that, but we haven't gotten that far. It's gotten out of Education Committee, and we'll just have to have those conversations.
Okay, thank you very much. State Representative Dustin Height, we appreciate you joining us for this half hour with your views.
Thanks, Ben.
Coming up in the second half hour, we continue our discussion about politics and higher education. When we come back, a conversation I had earlier today with a student at Iowa State University who describes himself as politically conservative. In fact, he's the vice president of the student body as well there at Iowa State University. We'll hear his views, how he feels he's being treated in the classroom, also by professors, if there is this liberal bias, as GOP lawmakers perceive. Then I'll talk with Vanessa Miller, who's been covering these issues for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. The debate over tenure and free speech at Iowa's public universities. On River to River today, I'm Ben Kiefer, back in just a moment.
Iowa Republican leaders encourage wearing a mask at the Capitol, but oppose making it a mandate.
We have no way to enforce that, even if we were to say everyone in the caucus has to have a mask.
This worries Democratic leaders.
I'm concerned and want to avoid, you know, turning the legislature into a super spreader event.
Legislative leaders share their goals and concerns, and so does the governor on the podcast Under the Golden Dome. Listen to the new episode now at iowapublicradio.org.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we've been talking about issues in higher education, specifically at the State House, where the GOP controls both chambers. Republican lawmakers are considering bills that would end tenure for professors at Iowa's three public universities, potentially making Iowa the first state in the country to do so. Now, backers of the tenure elimination bill argue Iowa's publicly funded universities should be able to terminate faculty for reasons beyond what they define as, quote, just cause, program discontinuance, and financial exigency, wording from the region's current tenure policy. Now, last half hour, I spoke about these bills to end tenure in Iowa. and the issue of free speech on Iowa's public university campuses with UNI President Mark Nook and with Republican State Representative Dustin Height. In just a few moments, the Gazette's higher education reporter Vanessa Miller will join us to share her reporting on these issues, as well as reaction to the conversation's last half hour and to this next one recorded earlier today. Jacob Schrader is a senior at Iowa State University. He's from Sioux Center, describes himself as politically conservative. Schrader is vice president of the student body at ISU. He also clerks for Iowa State Representative Holly Brink. And Jacob wants to note that today he is speaking on behalf of himself, not Representative Brink. Jacob's schedule didn't allow him to join us live over the noon hour. Our conversation was recorded this morning. Jacob Schrader, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Start off, before I ask you about the higher education issues on the front burner in the news, I'll do that in a moment, but give us a snapshot of your background and how you came to the field of politics.
Yeah, so I'm from Sioux Center, Iowa, like you noted, which is up in northwest Iowa. I came to Iowa State for economics, and I was really excited to get involved with that. I also had the pleasure of joining student government early in my freshman year of college, and I've been involved ever since. I was a senator for 3 years, and now I'm student body vice president. Kind of in my time at Iowa State, I got involved in politics. I always cared about free speech. The first real big issue that came up was that got me over to the state house was the free speech bill from Representative Height a couple years ago that tried to address free speech zones and campus leadership positions. And I was a big supporter of that and kind of tried to argue for that over at my campus at Iowa State, and I was happy to see it pass.
You describe yourself as a conservative. Define that a little bit more. Are you a Republican? Do you come from a conservative family? What is behind that conservative label?
Yeah, I come from a conservative family, but more of a moderate. I think maybe some of my more Republican friends might tell me I'm not a conservative, but I certainly fall on that side of the political spectrum. And for me, that just means that we should be trying to solve things among ourselves as a community and not looking to government to fix our problems as much as we can, since government tends to do things a little bit slow and a little bit too big than it needs to be.
What's it like to be a conservative thinker at Iowa State University? You've been there, you're a senior, as I noted. What is that experience like? How is it different for someone with other political views?
Yeah, I think there's two really types of students. So you have students like me who don't really have an off switch, and I think we're fine, right? We speak what we want to speak. We know what our rights are. We know the First Amendment. And if there's ever a problem, you know, I trust our university administration to eventually get to the right answer and fix it. The problem lies for the conservative students who maybe for good reason are just there to get a good education that gives them a good job. These students who are maybe more conservative or maybe just centrist and don't agree with some of what their professors are saying, you know, a lot of times I have some friends that will change their majors I had a friend who changed her major after an education teacher said that her Catholic faith would interfere with her ability to be a good grade school teacher. I had a liberal friend drop a class because a guest speaker came in and talked bad about Colin Kaepernick. So I think that students who maybe are less outspoken, less given to rise to go fight, and really are just here to get an education, to get a good job, to provide for their families, or their future families, have a bit of a rougher go at our universities, left, you know, or right.
State Senator Ken Rosenboom, a Republican from Oskaloosa, shared, he says, conservative students at public universities in Iowa fear reprimand for speaking their mind, and he blamed the campuses, what he said was a liberal bias. What are the repercussions for speaking your mind? You seem to do that perfectly well. And in fact, you're the vice president of the student body.
Right. I think the repercussions is, you know, you are going to face some consequences. You might lose some friends. I have had, you know, lies published about me in the student newspaper. Folks have called me, you know, everything from a bigot to a white nationalist on social media. You know, it's not fun. It's stressful. And not everyone is cut out for that. And I wouldn't discount someone saying that, you know, that's just not worth it for them.
talk a little bit more about, do you agree there's a liberal bias in most classrooms? Is it present in all classrooms, some professors? Quantify that a bit, would you?
I think that it's not present everywhere, and I would hate to say that it's a majority, but I think there is a political bias in a lot of classrooms where professors state their politics and it just silences speech. You know, and I think it's probably mostly liberal when you look at hiring statistics, studies that have been done. Faculty are overwhelmingly left of center, even left of center at our universities, and that can create echo chambers where they just don't understand what they're doing is wrong or how it could be perceived by students as attacking, you know, their beliefs or their faith.
Mm-hmm. So in the cases where you have a professor expressing what we would call a liberal view, you're saying it's because that professor naturally in that classroom is in a position of power, and this chills discussion for people other than you, it sounds like. The conservative students just keep quiet. Is that what you're saying?
Right. You know, why write a conservative paper when you don't know if that paper is going to be graded the same as if you just wrote a liberal paper? So just write the liberal paper. You know, people don't have the energy to fight everything every day. And that is the sort of beating down that Senator Rosenblum is talking about.
So you have written papers because you know you have certain political views that the professor holds just to cater to his or her views, and other conservative students have done the same?
I know other conservative students have done the same, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you yourself not, it sounds like.
No, I try. I try to not restrain myself in the classroom.
Let's talk about these bills. Are you in favor of the current bills that would end tenure for professors at Iowa's three public universities? Do you see the value of the tenure system and have evaluated the impact that might have on our state?
So myself personally, and I think speaking for many students, I'm not sure the tenure bill is the way to go. If I had the choice between paying more in tuition to keep good faculty or just giving them tenure and having my tuition be cheaper, I take the cheaper tuition and give them tenure. And that's kind of the trade-off that I see. But I understand where the legislator is coming from, because even though when we talk to, you know, when the legislator talks to university administration, or when I talk to university administration in my role in student government, I get the right answer. Senior administration understands the First Amendment most of the time. It's the professors that, you know, are essentially bluffing in the classrooms and instituting their biases or talking about their political opinions when it has nothing to do with it. So the legislature has a tough job of trying to reach the individual professors to let them know that they also have to care about the First Amendment, not just the senior administration under universities.
So what do you think is the fix here, if not this tenure termination bill?
I think what Iowa State has done in response to our syllabus controversy, where students were told they weren't allowed to write about a certain topic. And every syllabus at Iowa State, in every single one of my classes, there is now a First Amendment statement that clearly states, you know, political discussion that doesn't have to do with what's in the classroom is forbidden. And now students know, you know, reading through that, oh, my professor said this, I know they're not allowed to do that, and they might feel more empowered to go out. And I would love to see that at our other two universities, and I would love to see a continuation of the discussion that we're now having because the legislature forced Iowa State to have the discussion about free speech.
Also at the State House, another proposal would require the Board of Regents to survey all university employees to determine each person's political affiliation. Do you think that's a good idea, going down that road?
Probably not. That seems like we're making a list of our political enemies. I don't really want to get anywhere close to that. But I do think ideological diversity should be a consideration in the hiring process of new faculties. It seems like at Iowa State, we care about diversity for everything but thought.
For everything but thought. So there's a low tolerance, you would say, as a complaint against some liberals, other students at your university. They say they're all about tolerance, right? But you disagree with that.
Right. I think that you can have whatever sexuality, you can have whatever skin color, you can come from whatever country, as long as you think the same way, and you'll be just fine at Iowa State and you're not going to face any backlash.
Think the same way in terms of being tolerant of these other
right.
lifestyles, right?
Or just, I think, being left of center in that sort of way, just in a broad sense.
Okay, thank you very much, Jacob Schrader. That's all the time we have here. A very quick on the way out. Where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years? What are your aspirations there?
I hope I'm back in the great state of Iowa, and maybe the weather will have improved a little bit by that time.
We will have another summer, I think, long before then. Several of them. Jacob Schrader, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Finishing up the hour, talking about higher education and politics in the state, some issues that have come to the forefront concerning freedom of speech. Iowa Republican lawmakers considering bills that would end tenure for professors at Iowa's three public universities, potentially making Iowa the first state in the country to do so. Getting arguments, views on both sides of that issue this hour. Let's finish up with Vanessa Miller, higher education reporter at the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You've been reporting for a long time about the issues we've discussed this hour and plenty of other ones. You've been listening to the program thus far. Are there comments or issues that stand out that you've heard discussed this hour so far that piqued your interest?
Well, yeah. I mean, one thing that I was interested in was Representative Hyde's kind of desire for uniform policy, he said, across the three public universities. And I guess I was thinking about that because the board actually did do just that. You know, the student mentioned in 2019 that the legislature passed a free speech bill requiring the Board of Regents to adopt a policy like a uniform free speech policy across its campuses. And that was in response to, obviously, another incident at the University of Iowa with its one of its student groups. And so then the regions did adopt a uniform policy. And then even recently, the Board of Regents established a free speech committee in November, and asking them to look into these. And this was right after there was this to-do up at the Dental College at the University of Iowa. So they have done some of that. But obviously, free speech is an issue that ties together all of the proposals that have come, you know, to the legislature this session.
Right. And tell us how this latest proposal to eliminate tenure springs from that same original discussion, which goes back quite a while.
Yes. Yeah. There have been concerns about suppression of free speech for a long time. And it's interesting to me because that seems to be sort of the argument on both sides of the line, that lawmakers who want to eliminate tenure are saying they need to do that because of free speech. And then the university folks wanting to save tenure say they need to do that to preserve free speech. It just seems interesting to me that both people see a threat there, but don't quite know how to protect it. And again, there have been lots of other bills proposed this session that have to do with that, including one, as the ISU student just mentioned, that would make the campuses put their syllabus, the language of each course syllabi, online for the public to read before the class happens. That would become law, that they have to do that and keep that online for 2 years. And Representative Hyde, actually, I asked him what was behind that, and he said he just thinks that the public and every student needs to have a view of what's being taught on the campuses. So there's that one. There's the political affiliation one. There's one that is going to require legislative approval before universities can spend any non-state money. And part of the defense of that was that they want to make sure that there isn't some sort of, affiliation happening of the private industry funding something. But again, getting into sort of government oversight and wanting more say into what's happening on the campuses. It just seems, you know, and then Representative or Senator Sinclair just proposed another bill banning specific types of diversity training. So it's all around in free speech penalties and things like that. So there's just a lot of legislation around this issue.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Vanessa, in your view, in covering all these issues, how much is this about, for instance, the latest, eliminating tenure, really practically eliminating tenure? I don't think people are disputing the devastating effects that would have on the public universities in terms of drawing in faculty members. How much is it about actually what they say it is in the bill and how much of it is just sending a shot across the bow, sending messages to the regents, to the public universities' administrations.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. I think a lot of them are viewing this as a message. Senator Rosenboom recently was quoted as saying, some things are more important than dollars and cents. And I think freedom of speech and freedom of expression are those things. And he was responding to those thoughts that this would cause a mass exodus of faculty and that funding research would drain and all these industries would be harmed. And he's saying this is more important than all of that, sending a message of free speech. So I definitely think that it is sending a message. And some of the universities are contending that even if the tenure elimination bills don't pass, it's already sending a message that this is the climate here. And this is happening while the University of Iowa is searching for a new president. And there's concerns that this could harm even that applicant pool, you know, or prospect pool. So I think you're right, though, in saying this is a message they're sending.
Interesting that you made those last comments, because it dovetails nicely with an email we just got a few moments ago from one of our listeners, Cassie. I'll just read you part of it. My son is starting to look at colleges, and with the changes and recent proposed legislation, we may be moving back to Chicago soon. Many families in our Quad Cities area feel the same with the legislature's continued forced culture changes to the state. It's having an effect. Perhaps legislators are not intending Vanessa.
Yeah, I know. It is an issue because, of course, the universities are facing enrollment issues as well, not only because of the pandemic, but because there are these demographic changes in the Midwest. And so they were looking at enrollment declines before COVID happened. Now students are being forced to take all their courses online, wondering if it's even worth it, taking gap years. The university presidents are worried about how they're going to get them back. Residence halls, I wrote today, are losing millions, you know, because these students are doing stuff from home. And so there's already these issues. And so you're right. In addition to recruiting and retaining top faculty and administrators, there's the question of what this is going to do to students. And a lot of the university officials are worried these implications are coming to fruition even before or without it becoming law, even if the laws don't pass. Just it being discussed is having an effect.
What about the point that Representative Height made a few moments ago that community colleges in Iowa don't have tenure? I'm not aware if they do or they don't, but I'm just putting that out there. They operate fine. They have accountability. They don't seem to need tenure. Is that right?
Well, obviously the community colleges serve an entirely different purpose in higher education across the state. So Iowa has two top research universities, which makes it somewhat unique in the nation. And those researchers, you know, those top elite researchers who are looking into COVID vaccines, Dr. Stanley Perlin of the University of Iowa is like, you know, one of these preeminent people. And they come, you know, part of what allures them to any university is tenure, which they would say is an indefinite appointment that allows them academic independence. And so yeah, recruiting those types of people to research universities is I think different than the type of faculty that community colleges recruit and retain. I think I think they're just talking about different things. So the comparison is not quite apples to apples.
Okay. In the minute that we have remaining, so much you've reported in this area related to what we've been talking about this hour. But I wonder, looking toward the future, what aspects of this story, this whole storyline that extends back quite a ways, will you be watching in the future? How this plays out, for instance, in the legislature this session?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing I'm actually going to be watching is later this week, the Board of Regents has a meeting, and its free speech committee that I mentioned earlier that President Richards appointed in November is coming to the board with a list of recommendations, among them being that the universities cannot take institutional positions on policy matters without being in conjunction with the board. So I think this is probably speaking to the University of Iowa's take on the diversity executive order in November or October in the dental colleges. So anyway, they're trying to create a new new policies, a new way to review complaints, to poll the campuses. So I think what will be really interesting will be to see what sort of changes the universities enact in response to this message that lawmakers are sending to try to keep them from discussing more legislation like eliminating tenure. Like, what real changes will the campuses enact when it comes to free speech?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we'll watch. And with your reporting and conversations like this, Vanessa, thank you very much. We'll tap into your expertise as higher education reporter at the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, a nice conversation we had this hour. You, if you caught only part of the conversation, River to River is available as a podcast. Just subscribe to River using your favorite podcast app. We enjoyed all the input we had on this program as well. River to River is produced by Rick Brewer, Matt Alvarez, and Caitlin Harrop. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.